Welcome to Talkin' Docs, the monthly show where we dive into the world of documentaries and review them for your listening pleasure. Why documentaries, you may ask? Well, documentaries have the power to inform, educate, and entertain us in ways that few other mediums can. They allow us to delve deep into a subject, explore different perspectives, and challenge our assumptions. But with so many documentaries out there, it can be overwhelming to decide what to watch. That's where we come in. On Talkin' Docs, we'll cover a wide range of topics, from politics and social issues to art, science, and nature. So whether you're a seasoned documentary buff or just dipping your toe into the genre, Talkin' Docs is the perfect place to discover new films, expand your horizons, and join the conversation about the world around us.
Hi, welcome to Talkin' Docs. My name is Jennifer Smith. I am here with my two wonderful co-hosts, Logan Crosland and Cowboy Roger. How are you boys tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm looking at the stars right now, and they're all aligning, so I'm looking forward to talking about this one.
Doing great, Jenny and Logan. I hope you are as well. No stars in here, but I'm writing letters as we speak, handwritten letters with both hands.
Well, I thought
management, of course.
I was trying to think of a fun way to open the show, and I was going to ask what your signs are.
Leo,
that makes sense.
Virgo.
Virgo also makes sense. Do you guys follow astrology at all?
No, not really. No.
My mother did it professionally for a long time.
Oh, yeah?
Oh wow, that's awesome.
So at a young age, I told her, she would tell me stuff, and you know, sometimes it would happen and sometimes it wouldn't, and I eventually said, I just don't want to know, you know. just leave me in the dark, Mom.
Yeah.
If I'm gonna get hit by a car or something, I'd prefer to just have it take me by surprise.
Oh my goodness. All right. That's opposite of me. Well, I'm a Libra, so that means I'm perfect in every way. Obviously.
You and Cowboy Senior.
Yes.
Oh boy.
I think
see what I mean?
Are you like an October-ish, right?
October Libra. Yes. Even more special. So that leads us right into our discussion tonight. We picked, obviously, the Zodiac Killer. And I thought that we had a very interesting choice as far as documentaries when it comes to looking at this guy, because there's a lot to consider given that this case has never been solved. And it's very infamous, and it has been for, 50 years now? So, or longer than that now. That's hard, but
yeah, almost. Yeah. 60, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what we did was we picked a documentary called Myth of the Zodiac Killer, which is, you can find on Peacock right now. It's 2 episodes. They're each about an hour long. So it's not that much of a time investment. But what is interesting about this documentary is that it doesn't try to solve the crimes in the way that you would think. The theory is that there is no Zodiac Killer. So it's a huge twist on the whole investigative side of this story for me. Did you guys know before watching this who the Zodiac was?
I definitely heard about it, and we obviously watched the movie as well. I remember them when the movie came out. I had not seen it, of course, because I've never seen any movies. But I thought the documentary was super interesting. The one guy was kind of the main guy that the documentarian talked to a lot, kind of called the whole thing bullshit, and that there was more to it than a lot of people thought. So it was interesting to hear a lot of that guy's theories and stuff that he was kind of talking about. But they also had other academics that had spent a lot of time looking at it as well, that kind of thought that what had kind of played out throughout the years was what really happened, and that they just never caught him.
Yeah, I had some familiarity with Zodiac, but basically was, I knew he was a killer in the '60s, and mm-hmm. that he had never been caught. I had seen the movie along back right around when it came out, and maybe one other time, but I had not. Like, that was probably my most familiarity with the Zodiac was the movie. So, like, walking away from the movie, they definitely have a theory about who the killer most likely is in the mm-hmm. In the movie.
In the movie. Right.
But in the – so I found the documentary to be fantastic, as far as – I think for a case like this where there was where it wasn't solved and it's still up in the air, I thought it was cool to explore alternate theories, because that's really all that mm-hmm. all that anyone has is a theory. I guess some theories can be stronger than others, but there's certainly nothing proven.
So just quickly about the Zodiac Killer. So yeah, there were five known murdered victims, even though he attacked more people. He had two survivors from the attacks. And this was between, you know, in the Valencia, Vallejo, Napa County, and San Francisco areas. And the crimes are interesting because, well, the MO changes. The first three times he attacks couples and he uses a gun as his weapon. The last kill that is attributed to him was a cab driver in San Francisco who was just shot in the back of the head. So, in looking at the documentary, that was one of the things that kind of made me really, because at first I thought this guy, the main focus, Thomas Horan is his name. I thought that he was a kook, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, there's no way that this theory is going to hold up. I even, when I was watching the documentary, I said to you guys, I'm not sure this is what we're going to want as far as this goes. Mm-hmm. But then I've known a little bit about Zodiac. I'd watched the movie, of course. I'd listened to several podcast series about Zodiac. So I knew what the basis of the crimes were and stuff. But it is true that the only thing that links all these crimes are the letters that starts being sent to newspapers and to police across all these areas, taking credit for these crimes. The letters are the only thing that really links the crimes. And when he said that, it made total sense to me, because the MO changes in these murders, and then the letters start to become the entire identity. Like, the murders stop, but then the letters continue on for years, and they go to a bunch of different people. And it's just, the more I watched the documentary, the more I started to believe this guy.
Yeah. And so there was another murder that was outside of the modus operandi, right? Mm-hmm. Which was the two kids, the guy lived, right? The two kids who were where he wore the
stabbed.
Hood.
Yeah,
those where he wore stabbed. The hood and he stabbed them, right? So it was like, there was couple with a gun, cab driver with a gun, couple mm-hmm. with a knife,
right? Yeah.
And then so wore a costume, like, didn't wear a costume. Right. So, but like the one theory, piece of the theory that I struggled the most with was that for the cab driver, Zodiac included the bloody shirt with the letter. Mm-hmm. And the documentary guy, I think, had to take it's a leap, right? It's basically saying that it was planted, right? That mm-hmm. it was stolen from an evidence mm-hmm. locker or something by a reporter or by mm-hmm. whoever. So that I thought was like a little bit of a leap, but like with anything, the truth could be somewhere in the middle. But I think the thing that was really compelling was they had the, you know, the hand, not even handwriting, like the, they call it the linguistic genome or whatever, right? Those experts who can analyze the style of your writing, and there are these mm-hmm. things that you do there are these things that you do unconsciously
in your writing and stuff like that,
that they can pick up on, to even if you're trying to change things around, that you wouldn't be able to change this consciously, especially in the 60s. And what they found is that the letters changed after the murder of the cab driver, that the first four letters were probably written by someone else, right? Mm-hmm. Then the next 30 or whatever were written by us, by the same person. So it's real interesting, because it could mean a number of different things.
Yeah,
right?
What do you make
of that? Was there a Zodiac who did those first few murders? Mm-hmm. And then were the next two copycats, people mm-hmm. trying to mm-hmm. either one or two people trying to be the Zodiac, right? Because mm-hmm. he was in the paper, right? And there was so much notoriety that there's, you know, all these sick and twisted people out there, right? That they would have enough information to fake being the Zodiac.
The Zodiac, right.
But then, like, the question is, well, what the hell happened? Did the other guy just stop mm-hmm. killing people? Did he die? Like, what happened? But it's really interesting. And then the other thing that really, like, kind of reverberated throughout my mind throughout the whole process here is, like, this is like a one of one, in that I don't think that anything like this could ever happen again with the advances in technology. Mm-hmm. Like, a Zodiac now could never get away with this stuff. Like, they could, mm-mm. you know, either there would be all sorts of video of them committing the murders, or like the handwritten letters would like get traced it's almost like a throwback to a mm-hmm. different time when, you know, the criminals could actually stump the cops in some cases, which now with technology, it would be next to impossible to not only get away with the murders, but then like taunt the police for the next 20 years without getting caught. So I just thought in that respect, it's a really interesting story in that it's never going to be solved, most likely.
No.
And we're never going to, there's not like there's going to be more of these where they'll be able to gather learnings and try to apply those to the Zodiac, right? Like, it's probably just a forever mystery.
I would agree. And, you know, the police, they don't help themselves at all in this era, as far as where you're looking, you know, at San Francisco area, San Francisco in the late 1960s, even, and, you know, there's a lot of context for reasons why the police believed that these were all connected, even though the only thing that really connects them is the letters. And I don't know. I kept thinking, what is my theory? What do I think? And I really, after I watched the movie, they point towards somebody, Arthur Lee Allen, as who they would sort of had the most evidence against, I think, even though it was sketchy at best. And then, you know, there were a lot of good reasons to believe that it was him. But I tend to believe it was a bunch of people. It was the original killer, the copycats, and then Alan might have been another killer, you know what I'm saying, just in general.
And they barely even talked they barely talked about him in the documentary, if they talked about him at all, right?
I don't think they really did at all, no.
They didn't really get into any of the suspects on the documentary.
The real interesting one was the ex-husband of, I forget her name.
So, yeah.
That was a pretty interesting interview.
Oh, yeah.
What the Horan guy tried to do was look at each case individually and not tie them together, which I thought was a smart way of going about it. He was like, if it wasn't the Zodiac, then who else? Because back in those days, I don't think the cops really delved into the victims that much to try to figure out who did it. So yeah, the one had the ex-husband that was following her around, and then they bring up biker gangs for one of the other murders.
Yeah, the Hell's Angels. Yeah.
Yeah. So that
he,
was.
I mean, he found a plausible non-Zodiac killer for everyone, right? He did.
Which I thought was interesting, and I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know about you, Logan, but where I landed is I do think that there was a serial killer, but I think that at least based on what I've seen, that there's a killer and then there's like a copycat. Like it's even the documentary, which is asking questions, I think that's kind of where they land with the, you know, with the first four letters like being written by the actual Zodiac killer.
Yeah, I honestly think, I think where I ended up landing is I think originally there was even a killer and then there was a guy that wrote the letters. Like, there was a guy that was the muscle, and then there was a guy that wrote the letters just to fuck with the cops, you know, stuff like that.
Like a duo.
Yeah, like a duo. Like, because the whole car thing, like the you know, the guy kind of shows how it worked out based on evidence and stuff like that, where the, you know, the shells of the gun were. I definitely think there were two people in the car the night that they shot the first couple of people. So I definitely think that there was a shooter, there was a killer, and then they had like a, you know, a guy that was a little smarter, a little better at writing or whatever than maybe that guy was. And then I definitely think that there was a copycat at some point because he, you know, he just kind of disappears for a little while. And then obviously, like kind of Roger was talking about, they bring in the two, French doctors, the linguistic, genome or whatever you said, and that they obviously point out that the letters change. So I definitely think that there was a different kind of person somewhere towards the end of it all. But yeah, I definitely think there were two people at the beginning and then there might've been a copycat further down the line.
I don't believe the cabbie shooting was Zodiac at all because there were already a string of cabbie shootings, even in the movie when he gets woken up and the detective gets woken up in the middle of the night for that one, he goes, this is the third one this week. There was already a string. So unless you're going to tie all of those to the Zodiac, the only thing that really does it is him sending the pieces of the cloth.
Yeah, sure.
You know, the bloodstained pieces.
And saying he's the Zodiac.
Right. So taking
based on the linguistic genome, that letter was written by a different person.
Afterwards. Yeah. So yeah. I think that's a different killer altogether.
And if that's the case, it's interesting because that sketch is widely considered, like, yeah, they even said it, I think, in the documentary, that this is the best photo sketch we have of the Zodiac. And it sounded like the police one thing I found through our whole journey here into serial killers is the police not always on the ball.
No.
It sounds like they actually talked to this guy. They talked to the guy who shot the cab driver, but because the APB had gone out that it was an African American, they let him go.
And the description too was also based on what the kids saw from the house across the street. Mm. They didn't even see the shooting. They saw him get out of the car and wipe it down, and, you know, describe the guy. But I don't know how.
And it was like the middle of the night, so I mean, yeah, even if you have like supervision, it's like, you know, you're
still guessing, and you're a kid.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think the third murder, the stabbing ones, I think that's another guy too. He dresses up in the hood. They tell the story of the other girls that saw somebody right near the vicinity and, you know, basically thought it was him. And
it sounded like it was definitely him. He was almost like giving off like a peeping Tom.
Yeah, it's a different MO. And he talked to them. And, you know, the stabbing, I think, is just a way different crime than shooting. And the first two were so similar. The first two shooting incidences were so similar that I think that was the same guy.
I mean, that was like a real outlier.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even like the distance, it was like a totally different area. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing that ties him to the other cases are the letters and the fact that he wore a Zodiac suit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And anybody could have put that shit together because the letters.
They blame it on, or the, you know, the guy, the conspiracy theorist guy blames it on the park ranger. Do y'all think it was the park ranger?
Now that was I don't think it was the park ranger, but it was really stupid of him to fuck up the crime scene in the way that he did. Yeah. But just add it on to the other professionals who are supposed to be knowing what they're doing, and they're not.
I mean, and that guy's just looking for any plausible person. Yeah.
I just wondered if y'all. You know, maybe thought that was how that worked out.
No, I mean, to me, that's like if it is a copycat, that's like a classic way. It wouldn't necessarily have to be a park ranger. It could just literally just be anybody, right? Anybody. The guy dressed up in a Zodiac suit and then, I mean, did those horrible things.
Man, that scene in the movie was brutal. I was not prepared. Yeah. I was not
the
prepared.
The stabbing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just, yeah,
they like don't. They don't hide it at all either.
No, they don't. It was very graphic.
And I didn't, obviously, none of us lived through this, but I mean, another thing like that was crazy is, I mean, this really like gripped that whole area in fear. Like to let that guy onto television, like onto like network television, somebody claiming to be the Zodiac, and then the thing with the school buses, they said he's going to start shooting the kids. And so they had like police like tail all these school buses. Like, it seems like he, like, it was almost like Son of Sam had that grip on New York. Like, like that hasn't happened in forever. Like, I know that I've read that they say there are still X and X number of active serial killers out there. But we really haven't had like an unsolved where they're like trying to catch a person. And I don't remember the last one, frankly.
Yeah, I mean,
Unabomber maybe, but that was a long time ago.
The DC Sniper, I think, is the only sort of thing like that I lived through as far as being scared, like, and that wasn't even in my area.
No, but that was wild.
But everybody was so scared. And then I think that movie shootings became like a thing for a while that people would be scared about.
Yeah, that's what we have now. Yeah. Instead of the calculated serial killer,
we have and public shootings and mass killings.
Going into shootings places with AR-15s. Yeah.
But yeah, I was gonna ask what you guys thought about the use of the media in particular. Like, if you're an editor of the Chronicle and you get these notes, are you running them? Are you risking, you know, this being a hoax, or do you believe it?
I think in their situation, they were kind of obligated.
Think so?
Yeah, I mean,
the guy had already killed. Like, I think if you just get a letter saying if you don't post this, I'm going to kill somebody, that's one thing. But this person had like already killed people.
Yeah, as I say, like it's, you know, once you confirm it with the cops, which they did, like almost immediately after they got the letter. Like, yeah, you got to run it because you can't risk, especially eventually when he starts threatening like to shoot up a bus and kill a bunch of kids and stuff like that.
It's similar, Logan, to David Koresh. They put him. They broadcast his Seven Seals thing because he said he would let the people out if they did that, and so he used the media. But I mean, we're at a very different time now of media too than it was back then. I mean, back then in the 60s, like, I mean, that network news and your newspaper were really the only source. Like, there were what, two or three total that people had. Now, obviously, you have all these different news outlets. Like, I don't even know how it would go now. Like, which, frankly, like, if the depending on which network the Zodiac sent their stuff to, it would probably be like framed in a certain way to blame political figures. Like,
I mean, you wouldn't even be able to get anybody. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, could me, if I was the Zodiac and I wanted, like, now, and I wanted to do this, would it be possible? I don't think so.
You'd have to be super tech savvy and be able to encrypt stuff. And I mean, there's so many smart, like, just computer people out there now that you'd have to be like a super duper genius, and
you'd have to be like the Batman.
Yeah.
Even if I got to somebody, would they just laugh it off? You know what I'm saying? Like, would they even spend any time debating? Is this, or just be like, put it in the trash folder? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think it, like, the DC shoot snipers is a good one, because that was at least fairly recently. And after, you know, there were three or four shootings, if the DC snipers would have emailed CNN or whoever, right? Like, it would have been all over the place. Like, I think that would have been plastered everywhere. And I
I just wonder why they believed it, because it could, everything that the Zodiac said pretty much was in the paper. I mean, he gave some details that they said nobody else knew, but like the caliber of the gun and shit like that.
Oh, do you mean the police? Like, why they?
Why did they even believe anybody? Why did anybody believe that this was real?
Especially once the killings stopped.
Right.
Right. I could see, like, while they're going on, it's one thing. But the letters seem to get more and more kind of out there, too.
And, yeah, they like, are. Almost they're like, crazy.
And I think it's just basically, like, they get married. Like, it feels like they got married to... It was determined early on that these were all connected because of these letters.
Right.
And they got married to that idea, and we're just going to die on that hill, essentially. Yeah,
they try to make the evidence fit that theory, that it's the one guy. And to me, it doesn't fit.
And but all you're doing, too, in that case, when you react, is emboldening the asshole that's writing the letters in the first place.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. If they didn't even publish it, and no, there's zero attention paid to these cockamamie letters, does this even exist? If the secretary just throws it in the trash, because apparently she's the one who opens the letters, according to the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, I just wonder if these letters weren't just, if they weren't just dismissed as ravings of a madman. Like, I think 99% of people would think that. I don't know. Maybe I'm simplifying the issue.
Maybe it doesn't hit mainstream as much if they don't do that. But I don't know. I just feel like once threats happen, and you know, like I said, once they confirmed that the murder that he said happened in the letter that they did, you know, I think somebody had to take it seriously, or whether it was the cops or the paper, whether they published it or not, or whether the cops really, you know, really got after it and tried to catch the guy.
Different story. And I mean, there's definitely a component here of, you know, it's Robert Downey Jr.'s character in the movie, mm-hmm. where there's like a benefit and the publicity.
For
the individuals.
Sell newspapers, obviously.
For the newspaper and for the reporters.
Reporters, right.
To keep this thing going, mm-hmm. right? Now, how nefarious they got, who knows, right? But it's, you see that phenomenon today where there's, you know, things that maybe are not super newsworthy and are certainly not beneficial to everyone get beaten into the ground because people watch it. Right.
Exactly. What did we think about just using ciphers? Is that just to fucking confuse everybody? Is it nonsense? Did it mean anything? You know, is it just adding to the insanity of whoever did this?
I think it was the letter writer just fucking with him, honestly.
Because he made it like a real easy cipher. It's a real easy one to do.
Yeah, a Boy Scout could solve it, right?
Yeah. But that's just like that. That's a way of exhibiting like control, right? Yeah. And having control and kind of you're the puppeteer. And you have everybody on your, yeah, on your strings, just like to your
part
point,
of the
Jenny.
Power trip. Yeah.
And he's so much
keep
smarter.
Sending the letters, and I want you to stand out in front of the police station and jump on one foot and like, whatever.
Simon says.
I mean, he totally owned the media and the police. They did whatever he said. He had all those empty threats, of, like you said, about the children coming off the bus, the kiddies. And bomb threats, shit like that. Mm. Nothing ever happened. You know, it just sounded like the rantings of a mad person. Like he was making all this shit up.
And they kind of always did whatever he asked. So, I mean, you know,
yeah,
what he asked, he didn't do the thing. So,
yeah, you know, he had total control of her. And that seems to be the only goal that he had.
I mean, he pulled the crime at the perfect time. Like, you couldn't have gotten away with this in any other generation. Like, it was so, you know, policing and, you know, just all the stuff that they do now didn't exist. You know, DNA and finger, like the advanced fingerprint technology we have now, blood stains, all that good, all that stuff, you know, didn't exist back then. So, like,
and there was enough technology for him to be on TV and
true.
Get
that's
so
true.
Yeah.
No, really. Like it is a sweet spot for this kind of thing. Cause if he's, you know, Jack the Ripper or whatever, like he was a, in the newspapers, but there's only, you know, there's only so much reach you can have when people have to take horses everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
But yeah, no, I completely agree. It was definitely a time that this would work. And you know, they almost like, it's almost like the guy in Seven a little bit too. And I didn't think of that until now. Mm-hmm. And you know, David Fincher did do both both movies, but kind of the same deal where it's like, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you why I did it. I'm going to make everything a puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So about the movie in particular, I thought it was really good. I've seen it several times before, but watched it again. And yeah, towards the end of that, you definitely get a feel that a cartoonist has solved this problem and figured out who the murderer is. And that's Robert Graysmith, a cartoonist for The Chronicle, and worked with the reporters who were working on the story. And according to the movie, he was kind of in these, you know, privileged meetings where he would get a lot of the info about what the killer says and what he's writing. He knew about the bus thing, even though, you know, they wanted to keep that secret for 5 minutes before it leaked and everybody knew about it. So the perspective of him totally losing his mind and becoming so obsessed with this case, I think he ends up divorced. He kind of ruins his life. According to the movie, it looked like his life was ruined. But then, you know, by the end, he had come up with this solid looking picture that pointed to one man. And that's kind of how they left it.
Compare and contrast Jake Gyllenhaal in Zodiac versus Roadhouse, Jenny.
Oh, God, he was so freaking swole in Roadhouse. He was so hot in that movie.
those UFC scenes in Roadhouse.
Oh, they were so
well, good. They were at, they, I was at, it was at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
They did it during like an actual UFC event.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We were there.
Anyway, I literally just saw an ad for that movie too. I'm not gonna lie to you.
You gotta check it out. You gotta check it out, Logan. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. That's not what the listeners are tuned in
for. No, yeah, yeah.
Any chance you can get to make a joke.
I loved it. And I didn't really care about the original Roadhouse, but I really enjoyed the remake.
Don't let Sean hear you say that.
Yeah, I know.
But it did seem like it ruined the guy's life. Honestly, it seemed like anyone who dove into this case, their really life was like significantly worse for it. And yeah, I think that might even go to go to the documentary as well.
Yes.
Because it seems like the guy with the theory is a bit of a pariah.
Yeah.
And it feels like he's like just 5% too all in. Like this has taken over his life as well. Mm-hmm.
What did we think of the documentary maker? Andrew Knott, I think his name is.
I thought he was fantastic.
I enjoyed him as well.
I thought like he interviewed the ex-husband there. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was very fair and down the middle. Mm-hmm. And was skeptical when it made sense to be skeptical, just mm-hmm. across the board.
Yeah.
Pushed on things that needed to be pushed on, weren't just accepting things, but also didn't just accept the status quo from those other experts.
Yeah.
They said, oh, well, I forget his name, Tom Horan, is just basically, you had like multiple people go out there and say, everything that guy tells you, he couldn't be more full of shit, right? Mm-hmm. And the documentarian didn't accept that. Mm-hmm. And I thought he did a good job of like what a documentary is supposed to do, right? Which mm-hmm. is, it kept you interested,
yeah.
Right? But I don't think he really pointed you, kind of like the movie really pointed you toward a theory that it was this guy. I thought the documentary did a good job of kind of letting you make up your own mind.
Did you feel that he was buying into this theory of the myth?
Big time. I think he was with Horan like 100%.
I think so too. Like,
especially once the guys did the letters, the you know, the linguistics.
Yes, he was very excited about it.
Like, this is fucking bullshit.
But yeah, well, once that happened, I was like, oh yeah, he's all in on this Horan guy for sure, mm-hmm. without a doubt. And yeah, like Roger said, I think what kind of put it over the top for me was the interview with the ex-husband. He, you know, he not once called him out on his bullshit or anything or what he thought might have been bullshit. He kind of played it down the middle. Like, you know, afterwards he talks to Horan and kind of says, oh, well, I didn't believe this and this and this. But while he was doing it, he was professional and did what he was supposed to do and listened to him and, you know, didn't give him any crap. So that was really good.
Yeah, that ex-husband was sketchy as fuck. I was like...
Well, and even in the movie, if you remember, yeah. I mean, that was like the first scene in the movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The first car comes. And the movie did them out of order, right? The killings did them out of order, which screwed with me in the documentary, frankly.
I agree.
Get myself there. But that the first car comes and the kid is like, oh, is that your husband? And she was like, oh, just don't worry about it, basically. So they actually do like a little call out to the husband being stalkerish. Mm-hmm. The whole thing in the documentary with there's the photo. Like, this is another reason. Like, this could never happen now. There's a picture, like, and it's a pretty clear picture of the woman who got killed with a guy. Mm-hmm. And the woman's family, I think, said, that's her ex-husband. And they show him the photo, and he said, that's definitely not me.
This is so square. I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah, he's like
that's the doctor who, like, you can't see it, but she's got a knee brace on underneath that. And that's the doctor who performed the procedure. They show him the other photo. Well, this looks a lot like your high school photo or whatever it was. And I was like, well, other than the glasses, it doesn't look that much like his high school photo. And one of the there's no smile or anything in the other guys, or that guy who's got the big teeth in that photo. But it was just, it was just so funny because it was like, like the big piece of evidence. It was like a very clear black and white photo. That's him. No, that's not me. Definitely not me. Is that all I have to say? Nope, not me in the picture.
One of my favorite things he said was something about back in them days, on every 4th of July, I took acid.
That's my alibi. I was tripping my face off that day.
I didn't kill anybody except I tripped balls.
You weren't on acid and maybe possibly shot your ex-wife. Right. I mean, you know, couldn't have happened.
I'm like, I can't believe he just said that, but okay.
And he said there was a family there too that would have like backed him up or whatever. Yeah. Like the whole interview was a hoot.
Yeah, and even the documentarian afterwards says, like, you know, he said he was trying to clear his name, but it almost seems like the documentarian thought he did it intentionally for like just to screw with him or something. Cause right. He's like, well, he said this and he said this and he said this, which are all like very, very suspicious when you think about the facts of the case. And then in the movie, they almost like take that guy. And that's what Lee's interview is in the movie. He just says all this shit that is just like, basically, like, might as well just stand up and say, I'm the Zodiac Killer. And he kind of says that. He says, I'm not the Zodiac Killer. And if I was, I would never tell you. And I go back to work. He's like, oh, that bloody knife that was in the back of my car. Like, so it's.
That's why I think he
it's
was
like over the top.
Yeah, he was. I don't think he's the Zodiac, but even if he's not the Zodiac, I think he's a murderer.
He's a pedophile.
A pedophile, for sure. Yeah, he was, you know, put in jail for that.
They don't paint a good picture in the movie. And the guy who plays him plays it to a T.
Oh, he's so good.
He was really good. I forget his name, but he was really good.
Yeah, he's really creepy, for sure.
I think in the movie, they didn't show the first murder. It wasn't out of order. They just referred back to the first murder.
Well, no, I think they skipped the second one. They don't do the one at the golf course. They do the one
on the lover's lane.
Yeah, they do the lover's lane.
Darlene, and then they do the hood and they do the cab driver.
Yeah, they don't do the golf course or where whatever it was. It was something about a golf course.
They don't do the teenagers. And those were the first victims. So then they start the movie with the second victims.
Is that not the first one?
No, they didn't show Betty Lou Jensen and.
That's what I thought.
They were so similar that it would have been.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Like, right? It was the same thing. It was like two people sitting in a car
the first one, both of them die, right? And then
And I got confused about that watching the documentary when they were showing that. I thought it was the first scene of the movie, but then when they started talking about the ex-husband, I said, oh no, that's actually the next second. Murder.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right.
But yeah, what was my other point here?
I would make Scott Shiflett sad if I did not mention that the boy in the first scene was Mouth from One Tree Hill. So there you go, Shiflett.
Yes, I did recognize him.
And when he was older, they made him one of the McPoyle twins. So terrible downgrade in casting there. So, but I just had to point that out. Sorry. Carry on.
I thought it was fascinating that both of the men and the couples survived the attacks,
and they were then by our account, these are different killers, right? Because the stabbing guy survived.
The stabbing
guy,
I think, is a different one. Yes.
But didn't the guy died in the first one? He killed both of them, and then in the second one, he killed the wife, but the other guy lived, and then the stabbing.
The guy lives.
The guy lives.
Yeah. And they talk.
Because in the movie, the guy doesn't want to talk about it for like forever. And then at the end, he talks about it and says that the guy that they.
He identifies him.
Was the guy that killed him. Or her. Yeah.
So I don't know that we solved it, guys, but
well, we tried our best. I don't, you know, a part of me does believe that kook, you know what kook. I mean?
That kook. Yeah.
As described by his colleagues in that documentary, you know,
With something like this, the chances that any of them are 100% right are like slim.
Yeah, none, I know.
Right. It's almost certainly something in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we said, they don't have the technology they had then. They have now. So I mean, there's no way
you never know though. They could DNA or something, and then tie them to all the killings, and we'll have to do a second episode to talk about how wrong we were.
Yeah, it was Ann Lee in the movie that they in the credits they talk about how he like right before they were about to like, you know, bring him in or whatever, he dies of a fatal heart attack. So like, even if he was the guy, you know, he passes away right as they're about to think about, you know, really bringing him in and stuff. So he gets away with it technically, even if he was the guy, one of them or all of them or whatever.
All right. Well, I think that's it, unless we have any other final thoughts on the Zodiac Killer. I would recommend this. I would recommend the documentary and the movie. If you want to think deep thoughts and try to figure this stuff out.
recommend. And it's a little lighter than some of the other stuff we've done recently where we recommend it, but we say we recommend this, but you're going to walk away like scarred and not feeling well for a few days. Like this, I'm not saying it's, you know, My Little Pony or anything, but it is... Like it's not as heavy, and can be enjoyable, and it's more of like a whodunit than it is a.
I think that's so interesting. Like, you know, what we consider light and what we don't, and we're talking about murders.
Lighter, you know? Lighter, Jenny.
No, I agree with you. I'm just saying, isn't that funny that we think of it?
We're starting from a place of eating.
You're starting from fucking Dahmer, so
eating people. Like brutal sexual assaults and things like that. Like this is, you know, this is a step up from that.
I don't want to use the word helps, but I think it helps that you kind of don't know who it is, so you can't like pinpoint a guy that you can hate or whatever. And you know, they talk to some family members and stuff like that, but they don't dive like so deep into the family members and stuff like the Dahmer series did, where you kind of get to know these people a lot more and stuff like that. Like you get to know some of them a little bit, but not enough to like really attach to them or anything like that, which kind of was the reason that the Dahmer one was extra devastating at certain points.
I agree. Not sure who we're going to do next, but we'll come up with something great. And that will be our last one, right? Our last one in this series, in this season, I should say.
Maybe.
I believe that would be five. We did Dahmer and
Eileen. I think we have two more.
We have two more? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, this is
all right. Well, I can think of at least one more devastating episode that we could do. So maybe we'll do that next.
There's a few options.
Yep. There definitely is.
I mean, Logan Wayne Gacy.
I got to get the clown makeup. I forgot this time. Sorry, guys.
Ted Bundy. So is it
right, yeah.
Manson. And then we could, not to brainstorm on the show, but maybe the listeners could give us some feedback.
Yeah, let us know.
Natural Born Killers, I think, is a fantastic serial killer movie that doesn't have technically a real life counterpart, but we could think outside the box here and pair that with, you know, say a Ted Bundy or something, right? I don't know.
Well, let us know if our listeners have any ideas what you would like us to
cover. Like the co-hosts we're not keen on that one. Logan, you've never seen it, I'm sure.
I was just saying, the only natural born killers I know are Sean O'Hare and Mark Gidrack. So I'm just kidding. I probably got that wrong.
It's a movie from my youth.
I got it.
Fantastic. Cowboy Junkies, Sweet Jane.
You don't have any other podcasts to promote there, do you, Cowboy?
No, not at this time. Well, the NFL draft is on Thursday, so potentially we will be back in the booth for this week in the NFL here at one point or another, but nothing imminent. For a quick sports take, I just watched the Celtics lose to the Heat while we were making this podcast as 15-point favorites at home. So,
aren't you glad you did this instead?
Yeah, I almost went to the game, so I would have, probably just been in bed for the next 3 days after that. So, thank you. It was much more uplifting to talk about the Zodiac killer.
The Zodiac might have moved to Boston at that point. I'm just kidding.
Logan, tell me what you got up.
Or the greater New England area, at least. In lieu of promoting any specific pods, we have a new feed that is about to launch pretty soon. I don't know exactly when this is going to drop, but it will be in the coming weeks, I'm sure. But the Backbone Wrestling Network is going to be where most of my shows are going to end up. I'm still going to have some here on the North-South Connection, and I'll have one on the Place of the Nation Wrestling Network still, so... but yeah, linking up Luchas, Highway to the Impact Zone, YouTube Roulette, and just a cavalcade of other shows that a few of us are on. It's going to be mostly me, Schiff, Jake, and Sean. It's kind of going to be our little feed that we're kind of starting out. Just kind of want to branch out and do our own thing. But we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I think Jenny will be on some shows with us as well. She may help out a little backstage with us. With that, but definitely looking forward to launching that and getting those shows a new home.
What's new the feed? That's a big announcement, Logan. Yeah. Congratulations!
Yeah,
it's called the Backbone Wrestling Network, and it launches on May 18th. Is that correct?
That's correct, and we'll have like a episode zero where we'll kind of talk about what shows are going over and maybe what new things we might bring out. So, but that'll come in the coming weeks, like I said. So definitely be on the lookout for that.
If you need someone to come on and talk positively about The Rock, you know where to find me.
Gotcha.
Nobody needs that, Roger.
We might relaunch from Squared Circle to Silver Screen. So.
Oh, shit. There you go. That's
we won't get fired this time.
Because you'll be the boss.
Exactly.
There you go. There are perks to being the boss. So subscribe and follow the Backbone Wrestling Network on everything, and listen to the shows that are moving over there and to the new stuff that we're going to have for you. And also stay right here on North-South Connection, especially on Wednesdays, where you can find this show and the other shows that I make, like GC Dub, a game-changing podcast, and Exposition, an X-Men podcast. So thank y'all for listening. Follow me on all across all socials at Jenny Position, and we will see you next time.